Right, hello and welcome to the ninth Manx Footy pod of the season. On this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by Paul Rose United manager Paul Guyver and goalkeeper Stuart Morris to discuss the red start to the Division 2 campaign. Chaps, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for joining us. Welcome, Paul. Welcome, Stewie.
Cheers.
How are we doing?
Good. I've got some digestives today. You know, feel free to help yourself. Apparently 125 years old, the digestive is.
Oh, that's pretty good. How old, Polly?
Not full of mould.
What's Polly, is that? 100,
what are we now?
80.
1932, so not quite 125, but
a classic choice of biscuit this weekend.
Well, we've had quite a few this. I nearly got a hobnob.
Oof. But you know, it's a red packet for a red club. So.
Well, there's
a cup of tea. Got all the biscuits.
Well, oh, then we slipped up there.
Half time.
We'll send Dave out to get the oranges and tea at half time. I suppose that we've got you in this week because after Saturday's 4-2 win over Castagne, you know, sit top of the standings, Paul. Were you expecting to be that high up at the start of the season, or?
To be honest, no. I knew it'd be up there because I've said to lads before, like, finishing mid-table just a waste of my time, waste of their time, and this year I'm gonna give it my all, and it's paying off.
Yeah.
Good. First team turn out of training Thursday, Tuesdays are good.
Yeah.
The team spirit's amazing, if I'm honest.
Right.
And we just clicked. Signing Glover's obviously a key, but there's players behind him that create chances and he's just there.
Yeah.
Put some in. Barry English runs his socks off all the week.
But last week was a good, but Castletown, I know we've been a little bit inconsistent this season, but they're going to be up there as well, aren't they? A top four place, you'd think. And so I think it went to 3-2 at one point, but then you battled back again and got a late goal just to see them off.
We threw up after half now, weren't we?
Yeah, we always seem to, when a team score past us, we always seem to get that goal again.
Yeah.
I mean, always seem to go back ahead by 2-1 clear. Yeah. We done it against, who was it the other week?
Mills,
Malou. Mills, Malou, yeah. We seem to, like, they score and then we, oh no, you're not having that.
Yeah, you know,
no chance. So, yeah, we seem to come good when teams seem to put the ball in the net.
That's a good trait to have.
I think last year we'd have lost last week.
Right.
And the year before we'd have lost.
And Malou. At Malou, we probably would have drew, maybe even threw it away.
Well, I was saying to the Malou boys last week, actually, that, yeah, I mean, because you guys took an early lead in that game, didn't you?
Yeah.
But then, at one point you were 3-1 up just after half-time. Yeah. They got it back to 3-0, but, you know, you went ahead and you got another goal again.
Was it 2-1 at half-time? Because we scored straight after the half-time.
Yeah,
it was 2-1 and then we went 3-1. Yeah, but it's just, with the Malou game, though, two mistakes were my fault.
You know. You got an assist as well for it.
Got an assist, yeah. If it weren't for that, the pitch. I played the pitch for the first goal. And then, you know, the second goal was outside the box. Not much I can do apart from kick it. And it hit Flanny in the chest and sort of helped him out, sort of thing. But apart from those two mistakes, we weren't, you know, majorly threatened as such.
That's the thing this year, isn't it? You know, rolling our sleeves up and we're not sulking anymore. We used to be sulking for old paddies. This year we're not.
We blame the ref, wouldn't we?
We blame the ref loads of time. Loads of time.
Someone's fault for
it. We've got quite a young team, Paul. You know, there's quite a few youngsters in that team. Is that because they've grown up with you saying, stop moaning, don't be like that? Or is it
I've just told them I've had enough.
Right. Yeah.
Last year, yellow card-wise, was mental. Yeah. Most of our yellow card last year, we forgot about the referee. Weren't for late tackles. Weren't for, you know, being aggressive doers, weren't they? Just gobbling at the ref.
Descent, I think.
So we just said that it's got to get the ref on our side, you know. Where's the free kick from? Where's the throw from referee? Yeah. But, you know, cheers, ref, thanks. You get him on our side. Because
not going to change the decision, are they?
No.
They always say it before the game. I'm not going to change my decision. Yeah. Get on with it. So that's what the boys have learnt now, haven't they?
It's good. A bit of respect then both ways, by the sounds of it, yeah.
No, it is. And plus, there's no disrespect to the lads that have left, but they're most probably half the ones to blame,
right?
To be honest, and that's no disrespect to them, but it's happening again for them for where they've gone. So,
yeah,
I think that's mainly to do with it as well.
So, you scored lots of goals, you've curbed your discipline. Is this the season that Pulley finally go up? I think it was 2005 last time in the top flight, 04, 05.
Ask
like
me
that.
Again in May.
We come second to air,
was it?
We should have gone up as champions, but just the last couple of games let us down. Air were a top team then.
Yeah.
It was probably, you know, they're not a bad team, but at the time they had a proper decent team. And we had a great team with Greg Wood, Skiggs, Jamie Devereux. We had Jay Wood.
Yeah.
We had a boss team then, but I think we only conceded 18 goals that season as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we went second. So obviously, just the couple of draws probably let us down, sort of thing. But yeah, I think 18 goals we only conceded.
And would you say, Stu, it's been a case that perhaps in previous years you've underperformed? Because you've always had a squad that's been there or thereabouts.
Well, yeah, we've always had good play. Every player we seem to get a pulley, I've got the football agility to...
Yeah.
Is that right, agility? Yeah. To play, basically, you know. We've never had to keep on someone's back to get better and get better. They've always seemed to got it, and it helps. You know what I mean? And pulley attract them players, and we always have. But it's
quantity we don't attract, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
But how do you rate this current crop, though, compared to that one when last time it went up?
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah.
I know, got a lot younger.
Yeah.
A lot younger, which is a good thing because they've got years to come.
Mm.
You know, the lads when we went up back then, were like again, Greg and all that, and they were like 28, 70, probably in their prime at the time. And if we've got the chance now, and the lads aren't even close to being in the prime, you know, they're saying 26, 27, maybe 28 is your prime time as a football player. Amateur, professional, whatever you want to call it. But these lads are 18, 17, 20s. I think me, Steve.
You, Steve.
And Tash and Dave Pusnall are probably the oldest in the team. Then you've got the likes of Nickers, Craig Harran, sorry. And then it goes back from Bazza.
Yeah.
And is probably, we've got like five senior, if you want to call us senior players, like, but the rest are 25 and under.
Mm. And in the back four, the oldest is 22.
Yeah.
It's Kenner.
Yeah.
So.
Two centre backs are 18 and 20. Not 18 and 19.
So as, with James McGinn,
James McGinn right back, he's 18.
So as a team, in you two different balances. That team then were all the same age and I played it a long time. For betterness, it's an hard one to be honest. I think it's probably on par with the same level, but the advantage now is that they're young. They're young now.
They've got the appetite.
They want to play and they can play.
Yeah.
Then it was, same scenario, but they were older. So we've got better years. We've got a lot more years to come than we did with the older lot, sort of thing.
And if the younger, Paul, this is a question for you probably, did they listen to you more than, say, some of the older heads probably would?
Jacob Thomas is terrible. Yeah. He's terrible.
Although the few who played me about 4 years ago, set up under 15s, asked to do it, and most of the lads are there and they're playing in first team on combat, so I like to think the first team eyes, they do listen, because at half time I'll sat there. When I'm doing a bit, I sat there quiet and taking it all in. Second half going out. Whereas last season, I was saying something at half time, but you could tell work going in this season it is. And
right.
It's young lads taking it on board, really.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I watched you against Mills, and I saw a bit of your game last week when I was watching Douglas Athletic versus Mary's. And the back four don't play like a bunch of youngsters to me. They play, I know you're probably shouting at them, Stu, but they're quite composed for their age. It's certain points, I thought.
I think it helps because the last 4 years, name enough now, they've all played together, haven't they? Yeah. Jacob and McGinn have played and together, and Owen pretty much with the... Owen played in the Calcutta, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then Kenny has come back to us from Royals.
First year was last year, wasn't he, come back?
Yeah, but he was at Royals, so he's gone to Royals and done well there, come back. And the back four have played, and Kenny's Owen's brother, and they're all mates anyway.
Mm.
So... That bond between the back four, you can't beat it.
And they all can play football as well.
Yeah.
If you're in any trouble, you very rarely get shoofed.
Yeah.
Centre play.
Yeah.
That's what we do at training, don't we?
We've got battlers, and we've said it this season, the difference between now, last season, season before, is that, you know, Jacob Thomas, he'd run through a brick wall.
Mm.
If that ball's on the other side, he's running through it, and he'll get it.
Yeah.
Owen, he's a lot more clever this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
He lash out and miss kick or something last season, maybe the season before this season, gets it, controls it, looks, pass, gone.
Yeah.
You know, you got James McGinn, well controlled, balanced on his, and Kenny, left foot. Everything's balanced.
Yeah.
And we've got the battlers that can battle if we have to.
Yeah.
And we've got the players that can play for you.
I think when I first spoke to you, Paul, it was 2-3 years ago for 4-5-1, you were giving us your predictions and all that sort of stuff for pre-season pull-out. And the first words you said were along the lines of, you know, it was Guyver's pulley revolution sort of thing. But you have to say, like, you know, we can laugh about it then, but it is coming to fruition now. and the way you see it, and obviously with being such a young squad, are you thinking more long term, like you'll go up and you want to consolidate obviously in the Premier League?
Well, I told the boys, I mean, I want to win trophies, I want to be down the bowl lifting up in front of my family, because there's no point in finishing the table, it's wasting time. So I want everything. I want to do this and look back in a few years time and go, get in, I did that. And get in, my team did that, because they did it our way and did it together. Well, I just, you know, people might want to do it and happy winning nothing, that's fine, but I'm not.
I think that's the mentality you have to have, isn't it?
Absolutely, yep.
And we touched about the Steve Glover factor. You've scored 6 goals more than anyone else in the division. I know you've played a couple of games more, but how big an influence is he being on this team? I know he scored 13, 14, something like that.
14, I think.
14, he scored already in 8 games you guys have played.
Yeah, but he hasn't played in all of them.
Yeah, so, you know, is he that potentially the catalyst you needed to get up, you know, his goal?
Best thing about Steve Glover was we played Jim's away. I think in the first 25, 30 minutes, he must have missed 3 or 4 chances. I think he still ended up getting a hat-trick that day. And in the change room after the game, he just said to lads, right, boys, that's it, that's done now. Next Saturday, we go again. Right. He didn't mention a goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other week, he scored 4, didn't he? And he said, you know, he said in the change room after the game, he said, boys, was it Governors? He said, boys, after the game, he said, boys, I'm jealous because the lads are getting the assists. I'm getting the goals. He was jealous lads getting the assists. So
he's a player that doesn't dwell on missing. You know what I mean? He'll miss and alright, yeah, it'll just be like that much. But in the past we've had players that'll think about it for the next half an hour and then whinge about it, you know, so he just misses. Unlucky, it happens, and he knows that. He's old enough to realise it does happen. But he'll get the ball and 5 minutes later and he'll put it in the back of the net.
It's good for the young lads as well, because that Malou game that you were at, the things going on, he was just turned out and said to the lads, look, calm down, don't get involved, walk away. He does that to the young lads as well. With Stewie there and Glover there, in the middle was all the kids. And for me, it's easy having them two there, calming everyone down.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in that game, wasn't there? There was a bit of argy-bargy going on with the Malou boys and the referee and things like that. So you needed that sort of cool head.
So Stewie, I suppose it must give you guys a massive lift. You know, you've got Stephen at the end. You know, you don't want to hoof the ball, but if it gets anywhere near him, there's a chance something's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
That must give you guys a big lift in games. And it probably tames maybe those games you were drawing last year, maybe into wins this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's just that one player. But we've signed, we signed 3 players, didn't we? And Jamie Skillen was injured in the friendly. And then we signed Nathan Yates. And we signed Glover. For me, if we were going to sign any 3 players, they were probably the best 3 players we probably could have signed for Pulley.
In them positions,
sort of thing. Because Nathan used to play for us when he was 16, and he's matured unbelievable. Probably being at Mills, probably helped him. He was a bit hot-headed when he was with us when he was 16. A couple of red cards within him and stuff. He went away, and he's a different player again. He's so calm and collective.
Some player.
He's brilliant. He's a godsend for that midfield for us. And then, like I said, with Glover, he's another godsend. You know, you can play him up there on his own if we had to. We did it against Malou. I think we played 5 in the midfield and played Glover on his own. He's scoring, and he's at the post. Godsend, to be honest.
He's forged a really good partnership with the likes of Barry English and
Dave Priestnell. Yeah. Those 3 together.
Baz Attash, Dave Priestnell's name is, and Glover just know where each other person is on the pitch.
Yeah.
You can't do that training. I can't say to them, he's there. They just know. That's because they've been playing football since 1922.
But Stu, we talked about Steve's influence. What about this man's influence? I know you probably don't want to blow too much smoke, but you know, what's he brought to the club in the last few seasons?
Nothing. Yeah, they're rock hard now. I don't think I was at Pulley when Garda started. Was I at Peel?
I think
the
season Peel.
You took over, or did no, I was there, wasn't I? Because Kev
first,
was still,
yeah, my first year as manager were there.
I was still there, yeah.
No, the year before, right, I was
in there. Yeah, the year, because that's right, yeah. I was obviously with Kev Cowan being the manager before Gaga. I think it's gone in a sort of step of foundations from Kev. Kev set the discipline in the team and on the squad and the club. And then he's done his best. He got us to the final. I think he got us to the Paul Henry final. And then, you know, he stepped down and Gav has come in. It was a bit out the blue, wasn't it? Because it was...
It was meant to be me. It was Carl Sandland.
It was Carl Sandland.
But he bottled it.
But it was Carl Sandland's idea to bring Gav in and he'll do it with Gav, with Paul. And I was like, because I was working with Carl at the time and I thought, yeah, I think that could be a good idea. I think so we put it and it worked. And but yeah, the lads, bringing the young lads in, and he always seems to have this ability to read a game of football easy. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, you're struggling with, I can be in a game playing it and I'm wondering, why are we going to change this? And I wonder what we can do. And you go in at half time, next minute he's like, right, you've got this, you've got that, you've got this, we're going to do this. And you're thinking, that's it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we go out there and yeah, it happens and we play football again. And he's just got this knack of getting it right. Mm. Okay, in the past couple of years we haven't won anything and we haven't won anything yet. But you've got to give time for someone to get used to what players, we're Manx football, everyone's in and out, in and out. You haven't got the highlight of the leagues, you know, premierships and all that, where they pick what they want and that. But yeah, he gets that team playing and organised, and he's been a godsend, to be honest. Another one.
High praise. High praise, Paul.
There we go.
We'll talk about, but I know it was a bit slightly off topic, but that season at Peel, Stu, it was a bit of a left field move at the time, wasn't it? Or was it just, you fancied a bit of a challenge?
Basically, I felt like challenging myself to, because I've always been at Pulley and I had a season at Royals, but I wiped that off because it was just a terrible season sort of thing. But I went to Peel to better myself, and I think personally, I think I did, because we got to the Hospital Cup final with Peel against Geordies, where we should have won, but we went for the 98th minute offside Callum Morrissey goal.
So, Fergie time,
yeah,
not
98th
minute.
I would have won a trophy with Peel, and I would absolutely. And everyone said that they seen how gutted I was to not win something with Peel. And that season, Peel, I swear down, is a top club. Mm. And I still, my heart still, most of my heart's with Peel. Like, go to Peel on nights out and all the boys still see me and I still get the respect. Mm. And then I had that season was class. Probably one of my best seasons.
Right.
I've probably had.
It's because it's funny, because one of my memories of used to is the FA Cup semi-final down at Pulley. You were just, and you broke their hearts.
Yeah.
That's the penalty shootout, wasn't it? And it was, you say it was getting dark. There was kids running on the pitch. It had everything, really. It was extra time. Some great goals. I think it was 2-1 or something.
1-1. 1-1. Yeah, 1-1. Because Danny Spillicorn scored I think we went 1-0 up.
It was a great goal, wasn't it?
Oh, halfway line. Yeah. Took it down, bang, over...
Kelvin,
lobbed him. And then, like I said, it was about 200 people. Meppen was down on the radio when it was live.
Yeah.
But people, I got told later on that there was the lads from other clubs, like, who were playing that day, who heard it on the radio when they said, sod it, we'll go down and watch the Pulley game. Because they heard it was 1-0 or 1-1. Yeah, they come back 1-1, extra time. And I think we were 4-0 or 3? 3-0 down on penalties, and then I saved 4 penalties on the bounce.
Yeah,
and I think we won 4-3, something like that.
It was amazing. I can still remember. I wasn't playing, but I can remember that shootout, because it was one of those things. Remember we talked about when the Alaman FA won that county game. It was 5-3. They were 3-0 down.
Snow thunder.
Yeah. That was one of those games where everything was the atmosphere and the. And it, as I say, I'm surprised you allowed in Peel after.
Especially the reason being, because obviously Peel were, as much as they are a top team now, they were an even better team then. They had all the top boys still there. Yeah. You know, Koch, Rob Cottier, and
Kev,
you know, they were class then. Yeah. And we were second division.
Yeah.
You know, so to beat a team like Peel, like we did. It's Pulley though. We've got that spirit, haven't we?
Yeah. You always do well in the cups. FA Cup, you usually have a good trundle.
I think this season's going to be different.
Right.
I don't think we're just going to be a cup team this season.
Right.
I think we're going to be an all rounder this season. Like,
Well, one of the things, you know, it's been a staple of the form this year is the home form. You know, you're playing really well at home. You're not losing.
I think you've won all four, haven't you?
Is that something you talked to before the season started?
I said to lads, no one's going to come pulling take away 3 points for that fight. Yeah. Not a chance. Not this season.
Fortress Springfield Road.
Yeah. I think you scored 25, conceded 5 at home in four games. So it's the stats don't lie. Yeah. And it's home form, which you can build it. Promotion tilt on, really, isn't it?
Don't lose any points at home and try and pick up half the points you can away. Any more is a bonus, I think.
We were talking last week to obviously we had Andy in last week, and we were having the Blue and Josh, and we were saying that Division 2 this year there's 6 to 8 teams that are capable of taking points off each other. Do you agree with that, or do you think there's maybe only a couple of teams that could possibly?
I think it's wide open yourself, don't you feel? But
yeah, totally.
Each year I've done this management like we've had. Douglas Athletic, they flew up the league.
Yeah.
First year was Andrew Youth Centre, they flew up the league. Last year we had Braddon. Mm. No, this year it's.
You've had Royals and you've had,
This year it's like, there's us, Castletown, Rycob, Onken finished fourth last year. Yeah. Ayr come down, Mills come down, so you've got to think.
Foxdale
as well.
Moran seems to be putting a bit of a run together as well. Obviously, Mills beat Rycob last week, 2-1. Yeah. I haven't watched them against you. I wouldn't have seen that one coming. I thought you were well ahead of them on the pace on that day. But they beat them 2-1 at Youthy. So
just go show the season's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, but we were saying it probably makes it the division to watch. Absolutely. It's really hot because you just don't know what's going to happen Saturday on Saturday.
You mentioned Braddon. I mean, I was down last year when you played them in the cup, I think it was.
Oh, you have to bring that one. Because he'll be like that now.
Be but, I'd say, was that a bit of a turning point for you? Because obviously everyone fancied Braddon to go up last year, and they did walk at the end. But you guys showed on that day, was it 5-4 in the end, I think, was it? Was it? Did it 5-3, 5-4?
No, I think we got back in.
No, we lost the cup game, semi-final.
No, it must have been the league one then, because it was you guys were 3-0 up at half time.
Oh yeah, that's what you mean. I don't at home.
Yeah.
And basically the point I was making was you outplayed Braddon in that first half, and did that sort of give you guys a bit of belief going forward? You know, because Braddon were the fancy team last season.
That's where we learned from. You know, this
did
season.
You beat them?
No, I remember the game now. We 3-0 up. Ten to go for half time, and then. We were playing out from the back, made a mistake, they scored. And right in half-time, we gave away a stupid free kick just side our half. Free kick coming, they scored from it.
Yeah.
And that's where I've learnt from this season, said to the lads, no stupid free kicks. So if near half-time and we X amount up, then you don't play football, just get rid. So, I remember that game well, it was a sickener.
Yeah.
I learned a lot that day.
Yeah.
Sorry to remind you.
I think about the semi-final.
Right, there you want to our Twitter questions. Ask the first one.
One of our Twitter favourites, Andy Ball.
Biscuit King.
Yeah. Do you know any plumbers that can put some hot water into that cabin so the boys can shower after a game?
That works hard enough. Don't need a shower, didn't smell. No, I don't.
And we're not going to.
No.
Well, I suppose that makes you don't want to make it too friendly, because then people want to come down there and play. You know, you want to make it slightly.
Knocking the door Thursday night for the shower.
Yeah.
Go home. No, it's one of them with that clubhouse. We're having a bit of trouble with who owns it and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. So the corporate, the council, whatever you want to call them, they're this, they're that, wear this, wear that. You know, it's a bit up and going. So no one wants to put money in or do anything, because it's like, hold on. But why should we do it? It's a bit childish, if you ask me. A bit petty, but it's just one of them. I'm sure it's on. I'm sure the water's.
I think Andy might have been a bit
just
too cheeky.
just got a cold one.
Typical goalkeepers do. Dean Turton, how fuming were you with Buckley when he turned up to watch a pre-season friendly and robbed the keeper you're about to sign?
I'm glad he turned up, because I heard about him, he's not missed. So thank you, Buckley.
Right, Ashley Egan, whether this is loaded the question or not, we'll find out. Question for you, Stewie, has anyone ever scored past you from their own half?
No.
He's smiling.
No, that's a terrible question to bring up. I think he just wants to get his name out there, Ash. I work with Ash.
Yeah.
So I think he's, I think he got a flick off someone. So I don't think it's totally his goal. Against Malou last season, I think it was 2-2.
Oh, yeah.
He was wind assisted.
Well inside there,
Well inside. Just happens, it's one of them where, you think your defender's going to go for it, and then they think you're going to go for it, and everyone's like, and then it just trickles in. But yeah, who hasn't?
Yeah.
You know, it's not. Well,
Dunne scored past me halfway line once, and was the net for the probably first team against Braddon. They had a free kick on the edge of their centre circle, and it was a windy, wet day, never forget it. He just pinged it, and he went, shoot!
But he has possibly one of the longest kicks in match. Yours is pretty belly. You can hit them far, but Peter Dunne is unbelievable. Yeah. I've seen him, as you say, take free kicks from the edge of the area and then suddenly be on top of the keeper.
I know.
He can hit a ball like that. But going back to Ash, I'd like to see where he was when we played Malou the other week. He didn't turn up. Apparently, I work with Ash, and he complained against them. He had some groin, or was it his hamstring or groin? Or his knee? I think he had like five different problems on the one hip. So yeah, he bottled it against us. So I don't think he's got any room to talk. He let his team down.
Dave Mattinson for you, Paul. What are your favourite memories from your many years at D&D? Thanks for all your hard work.
The nights out. We used to, back then, because I think it was when I first went, it's called Barclays.
Yeah.
And I went to Dublin District a few years later, but we used to lose a lot more than we won. But we'd always have a great night out. We've got the QB after the game, chip, butties and that. We'll all go home and we all meet up downwards. No matter if we'd lost or not, doesn't matter. Then up in the cave and made some great nights. Made some top mates as well, but I'm glad they've got the youth set up down there now as well. They've come a long way, and I always get my hand there scored, and bit of a fan. So
yeah. Well, they've had some good players come through as well, and coaches as well. You know, Gozzi and
absolutely. You have to mention Dave. He's done an amazing job at that
club. Yeah,
he is. I gave him his debut.
Did you?
Up at air, yeah.
There you go.
And then he did his knee.
It's your fault then. Well, this is from the official D&D Twitter account, which I thought Dave managed, but I may be wrong. But there you go. Were you proud to be voted into our combi team of 20 years at our 20th anniversary dinner last year?
Yeah, I think Dave texted me. He said he'd been voted in and stuff, and it's a bit taken back, to be honest, because I left there quite a while ago and I've had some better players than me, in my opinion. But yeah, well, good. Proud of that.
And he asks, who's the best D&D player from your time with the club?
There was a lad we had signed, I think he played semi-pro, Grant his name was, something like that.
Right.
He was I can't remember his second name.
Yeah.
But that was the time in D&D, I think they finished 5th or 6th in the second division.
Right.
That year.
Was that Lawrence Looney was up top?
Yeah, Lawrence Looney up there, yeah. With, what's his name, Flash, Steve McIntosh.
Yeah, good both.
In fact, like Steve McIntosh, right, we played Gerber at D&D, when we used to play behind Pulley's pit. Steve McIntosh made the same fullback fall twice in his arse in space of 2 minutes. Megged him twice.
Right, this from the official Pulley Twitter feed. To you, Paul, who's the best player you've managed at the club?
Think about it.
Get your hand off my head. No, I can't say that.
It's a good question.
It is a very good question.
Yeah.
It's good shape tomorrow's team talk.
I won't be going on. Barry English.
Right, yeah.
Always plays a smile on his face, no matter what's happening.
Mr. Reliable, isn't it?
And he just got glue in his feet, because that ball just sticks to him. I don't know how he does it.
How many goals do you reckon he scored to you over the years?
Over the years?
It's unbelievable.
Do you know what? I wish Pulley had been able to... Is there a way of knowing?
Well, Eric might have details to a certain extent, but I don't know how far back his records go, but because he's probably averaged, I'd say, at least 15, 20 goals a season, isn't he?
Probably more. I've
got 20 last year, didn't
I? Yeah, he averages 20 easy.
Yeah.
He's been at Pulley since I've been at Pulley, probably a bit longer. But I was about the same. I started when I was 19, I'm probably 35 now.
Was that black and white back then?
He was in the team, so was Craig Cowan. So he's probably, easily 2015, 20 a season. Like, so if 19. It'd
be interesting to know who the leading scorers are in Divi 2.
We could give Eric a winter project, maybe. He'd be cursing our name now. But Barry will be up there, won't he? Just for consistency of goals, you know. Because you've been in the division that long as well. So he's probably up there.
Yeah,
see, with Bazza, he can... But Bazza could have left us 5 times over.
Yeah.
Over the
years.
He
could play first division, Barry.
And he would walk into any Division 1, Division 2 team, any team he would walk into. But to stay at Pulley with all the problems that we've had in the past and whatever, shows what a lad he is to stick by his local team, where he's brought up, and stay with us for these years and do what he does and turn up every week. And he's a lad, he's a top lad, like,
yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
His Haribo's a hard time.
I respect, yeah, Haribo's, yeah, little jelly tots and stuff. Yeah.
Honorary life member in the making here. Yeah,
100%, yeah, there's, you know, after me.
Give me credit. Yeah.
So, no, Barry English is an absolute gentleman.
And then, Paul has also tweeted for you, Stewie, who's the best defender you played behind at the club?
You've had Greg. Well, we talked about Greg Wood. He was cusp of the Ireland squad when he was in.
He should have been.
Yeah.
He should have been. There's no reason why. I've had absolutely belting defenders. Greg Wood, Mark Tier.
Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie. Who else? Like I said, looking about the present team we've got now: Owen Quayle, Jacob Thomas. Mm. Jacob Thomas is rubbish. I mean, he's the worst defender I've played with. I know, I wish he could get dropped.
Give me a biscuit.
No, seriously, he just sent me a picture of me posted on something. So, like I said before about that team to this team, my all time defender for me would be Greg Wood.
Yeah.
But I know for 100% of a fact now that in a couple of years' time, there's no reason why I wouldn't be saying, obviously I won't be playing, but if I was, there's no reason I wouldn't be saying Owen Quayle,
right,
or Jacob Thomas. Those two are going to be phenomenal players. They're going to be absolutely well beaters for Manx football. But for me, Greg Wood.
Yeah, he posed with the ball. His left footed, wasn't
right foot. To be honest, a bit of both. He was an all rounder.
But he could play with the ball. He could bring it out.
One was beating him in the air. Yeah.
No,
he even Paul Kearney come beat him in the air.
Paul's about 6'9".
He would out jump. I've been working with Greg today, funnily enough. But Greg Wood by far. But that saying that goes to Peel.
Yeah.
And you got
Ronald.
Greg Wood, easy.
Richard Brandt, one of your former D&D colleagues, and of course the football administrator, I can't remember his title now, at the FA, but obviously a guru of fixtures and many other things. He says, Garber, you've played many times for many different positions in your career, but does getting sent off for two yellows for two handballs in the space of 5 minutes for D&D Combi 10 years ago stand out as a highlight?
I can't swear on this, can I? Oh, no way you brought that up.
I'm glad this is recorded because none of us knew this.
You're going to have to talk us through that.
Years ago, I did my cruciate ligament and we played with someone and the keeper didn't turn up, so I went to net for D&D Combi and luck would have it that day, some fella come through and took me out. So I was out for 2 years with me knee.
Wow.
Couldn't play football and that. So I turned up to watch the lads with cans of Kyle and a touch line. Gave the opposition some abuse and that. And then got myself back in, and it was the first game of the season, it was Onken. And I was so hyped, I was so pumped up. First game in 2 years, I was chain room, I was bouncing around the wall. I was just ready to go, and then the first one, the ball come over, I just don't know how I did it. I shut my left hand out, referee come over. Taggy was the ref. Taggy come over, guy with yellow card. Then he put me, and then a few minutes later after that, in the centre circle with someone, and I went through him, and then so Taggy come over, look, guy, calm down, or you get yourself sent off. And 2 minutes later, the ball come in the air, I went up for the head on me, left hand went, hit my hand. Oh, no. Dropped down again, Taggy come over, I told you to calm down, mate, sent me off.
Oh, no.
So that was my first game of 2 years. And it lasted about 2 seconds.
Oh dear.
Right, well, while we've got you in, it would be remiss of us not to look ahead at this weekend's fixtures. We'll start with Division 2 this week, because that's what we've got you boys in to talk about.
There's only one place to start, really.
Billy Goat Park.
Billy Goat Park?
Billy Goat Park. Billy Moats Park, probably. As you guys travel to play Foxtel. Now, we've just talked about this before we started recording. Storm Brian, is that it?
We think so, yeah.
Storm Brian is meant to do something towards the Isle of Man in the next 24 hours or so. So knowing how wet the pitch can be up there,
yeah,
it's casting a bit of doubt on this fixture. But we're going to go with the fact that it's going to be played. What? How do you fancy your chances tomorrow, lads? Because Fox still are in good form as well.
I fancy it. I just watch us play football week in, week out. There's no better team than us that play football. I know I'm going to sound biased, but it's not a team in our division that plays better football than us. And that's the same last year as well. Not a better team. Last year was discipline. This year we've got a discipline.
Yeah.
And I've got lads missing, but doesn't bother me. Right. Like I said before, just lads coming in. We're going to win.
Stu, what do you think? You've got Jay Chatwood will be up against you tomorrow. He's vying with Mr. Glover for the silver boot at the moment.
That's fine. Everyone needs competition, don't they? Yeah. I think the lads we've got thrive on competition because we always seem to battle each other in training. We always seem to battle each other, even
on Thursday night. Jesus.
We, you know, one scores. Oh, well, no. Yeah. So the battleness and the willing to better is way up there. So yeah, it's good for Glover to have someone up his tail, backside, whatever you're going to call it. But yeah, tomorrow, look, if we could all say we're going to win, we're going to do this, we'd all be rich, wouldn't we? But so it's going to be a great, I think Hattie's down for the game. So, and every time Hattie's down, we win.
Well, there you go. Good luck, John.
Bloody
hell. I was going to say, would you take a point, Paul, or would you see that as... Is this the chance to stamp your authority on this promotion?
We're Soccer League. They've got two games in hand. So it's our chance to stay Soccer League by getting 3 points.
And a statement at their place.
We're going to miss that first game of the season. Ramsey, you sent off, went up there. We were late getting there. Things weren't right that day. We got spanked 4-0. This is our chance now.
And how do you assess their chances? A lot of people are tipping them to do well.
Yeah, they've got, didn't the sample that's from Geordies and one from
Johnny Lund came up from Geordies.
No idea who they are.
Midfielder, and then Harry Weatherwell and Declan Cummings.
Well, pre-season, we spanked Mike up.
Yeah.
And totally different team on it.
5-0, something like that.
But it's amazing how quickly it turns around, because I was one of the two people that watched you play them in the league last year when it absolutely hammered down. I don't know if you were playing Stuart. I think you were playing Stuart. And we beat them like 10-1.
11-1 on that pitch as well.
Yeah, and you were the only game to go ahead that day, I think. And and they were miles away, weren't they? I didn't think you played particularly well that day, and you still won 11-1. But now they bring a couple of players in, and suddenly they're...
It's like us, isn't it? We've had three signings, like I said before, three signings, Jamie.
Lost six, but
you know, and Jamie's not played, but we've only basically got two players from pre-season, and those two players do a lot. And one player can do a lot for a team, and it's obviously worked for them, you know, they've got one or two players, and
they'll be up there.
They will. Like we've said it before, there's six teams easily capable of getting top, and they are easily one of the top teams that can be up there.
Well, they're away at Maloo this weekend. Do you see?
Just quickly before we move on, how is James Skiller getting on? How's his return? It was a serious injury, wasn't it?
He's got his knee brace on for another 2 months, I think. He's walking without crutches, but he's still there, such line kicking for football and that. So
he helps us out, doesn't he? Yeah, he's there on a Saturday and he helps Garver out on the line. Obviously, I'm Garver's number two, but off the pitch, we sort things out different. But on the pitch, it's quite hard trying to play.
Yeah.
And tell Garver, or ask Garver this. But like Jamie's been there, he's done it. He's a class player. So yeah, he helps Garver out on the line.
I'm not sure he'll play again this season, but
hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
He wants to. He wants to try and get... he wants, that's what he said.
But it's crucial though with any injury that you don't put too much pressure on yourself, you don't want to come back too early. And then
you've obviously had
a similar injury with your knee,
two yellow cards later.
One or three games, it cost me £35 as well.
But Ryuthi up at Maloo. You have to favour Youthy, but Maloo, they've got an abundance of goal scorers. And at home, they could maybe spring a shock here, especially if Youthy are still reeling from that Mills result last week.
That was it. Their winning start of the season was stopped last week. But how did you guys rate Maloo when you went up against them a few weeks ago?
Just the battle.
Yeah.
Intimidate your battle in your faces, and that's what we rose above. If Ramu Centre can rise above it, then fair enough, but... If Maloo getting the faces and wind up, I think Maloo, the players have got on the team, could upset them.
Yeah.
Upset the form there.
I think the Leeds problem might be is their attacking force at the moment. I think Flanny's fell out. Yeah. He's fell out with them and again or whatever. Glover's obviously banned.
Yeah.
Kinley's well injured, which is good. But who have they got?
Furby still.
Furby, yeah. he's a menace, yeah. But
Kieran Crittenden.
Yeah, they were speaking very highly of him last week.
Kieran,
yeah.
He come down with us a couple of years ago when he was 15, trained with us, and then turned 16, went to, where did he go, Braddon or something?
He played for Braddon last year. Season, yeah.
But he's a good player.
Personally, I think Malou will win that.
Well, Dave, were you?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if this ended in a draw, but I'm going to just tip Ify to edge this.
Paul?
Malou. I'm praying.
There's a battle at the bottom, Governors Athletic, which we presume will go on despite the weather, if there's a wet weather, because obviously they're on the AstroTurf at Bermehague. They welcome Michael United.
Well, this is Hattie's backup plan.
Yeah, if your game's off, that's where he's heading with the camcorder. So this could be another good game for a different reason.
Competitive game, yeah. It's a battle of the basement here, but I think, you know, Michael has sort of, they've shown signs of life this season, and obviously having Nick Hurt back in the squad is can only be a positive for them. But Governors, you know, they got the shock win against Castletown a few weeks ago.
That's
this league all over though, isn't it? Yeah. Like we said before, that people are beating people.
Mr. Hurt scored a brace a couple of weeks ago, and Steve Quayle scored. I saw Jack Smith scored a couple of goals. They seem to be able to score this year, which is something they've been struggling to do in the last couple. So
when's the last time Michael won?
They beat they won the double the other week, didn't they? They beat.
Was it
Jim's? Jim's. So they were both the first team and Combi.
So Governors of last one was Castletown.
Yeah, I think they were unlucky. They've lost the last couple by a goal, I think.
Yeah, I think they lost to.
Not really a goal by us. We spanked them 11-0, did it? I don't think I had anything to do.
But what's it like playing up at Bermehague? It's going to be windswept, isn't it?
Crap, isn't it? So, to be honest, the pitch is terrible for the goalkeeper. It's not true because you can't slide. You can, but you're going to scrape a load of skin off.
There's a bit of a bounce on it as well. It's not quite like the bowl. It's harder. It's
got a bigger bounce on that pitch than the bowl, yeah.
I wear pants.
Yeah.
So, and,
bit cabri.
So, yeah, for me, it's not a true game.
Right.
Because you can't slide properly. Because the boys, you got to be brave on you, sort of thing. But also, you play football. You can also play football on it at the same time. Because
you don't want to. You can't bring it under if it's hoofed, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, that could go either way. I'm going to go for a draw in that one. I think.
On the fence.
I'm going to sit literally on the cage fence around the edge of it.
I'm going to have Governors witness just.
Stewie.
Michael.
Governors.
Governors. Okay.
Bell.
Round Onken looks another close.
This should be a good game, this, I think.
Again, a pitch that's susceptible to the bit of waterlogging. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
This is a bad pitch.
Yeah, it's bad when we played them a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
That was on the cusp that week. There was a few performances that day, wasn't it? So it will have to be interesting to see if this one goes ahead.
But it wasn't even cut, never mind. it was terrible, absolutely. To their advantage, if it's the same kind of pitch, which it probably is because it's your pitch and you do it how you want to do it. But again, we should have beat them that day. We didn't, but no excuses, but we should have beat them. But 1-0, I think, tough call.
Onken, I've got a few ex-Pulley players in the ranks. The
Reese
brothers.
As I don't know who.
The Reese. Not missed.
No. Joey Joyce, he's one. I think his name's Joey Joyce.
Joe.
Is it Joey?
Rob Slinger, another ex-Pulley keeper, wasn't he?
He's played for Pulley, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not missing either.
But they did really well last year. We talk about they were one of my teams of the season last year. They finished
packing. Good effort, that. Really good effort. Finished fourth. Got to the.
Yeah.
Well, then they cut final as well. So
Dave's managed to keep most of his squad together. But again, Morale seems to have a resurgence, Dave.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, at home, they're going to be tough to beat if the match does go ahead. I was at this corresponding match last year, and Onken won it 5-2 in the end, I think. But this will be a completely different game. I wouldn't be surprised if Morale edged this one as well.
Right. Dave's going for Morale win. Stewie?
Onken.
Onken for me.
I'm going to go with you, I think, Morale as well. Oof. 2-1 on that one.
What are the odds on this?
This is for the Super 6. Union Mills, Douglasson District. This looks to me, I know, obviously you were.
I'm saying D&D.
Yeah, D&D.
94-0.
But Mills have picked up a bit of form since you gave him a bit of a spanking the other. Was it 6-2, 6-4?
5-3. It doesn't sound spanking out, but it was on the pitch football wise, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so they've played well since then.
Well, they beat
Going to Rykov, getting 3 points there. Yeah. Not many teams will do that. So fair play to Mills there.
They thrashed Michael as well a couple weeks ago. I think it was 8-1. So they're full of confidence at the moment. And you know,
I think they're the second highest scorers in the league behind you, surprised me a little bit. Yeah, you guys have got 34, 35, and you've got 29.
35 we've got.
Yeah, 29 they've got. So they've got goals in them, considering they don't seem to have an out-and-out striker. I think Kyle Urban's probably their top scorer, isn't he?
Yeah, although Chris Kelly got 4 in that game the other day.
Chris Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, we must say, get well to him, because did you see the picture this week?
What did he do?
He had a clash with Lewis Moran. I think it was just accidental, I'm not sure. But he ended up with 10 stitches in his head. They tweeted a picture of him from the Mills, and he looks like something out of a...
Clash of heads.
Have you seen it? They had to shave the side of his head, and then he's got the stitches go all the way back like a tramline.
Make him look hard.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping they sorted the rest out.
Like his hair, yeah.
Or himself at least.
But they wait for someone to
finish that off.
But he'll be
sorely missed.
I don't know if he'll play. He might wear some sort of Gary Cahill's bandage around his head.
I prefer the Petr Cech look.
Terry Butcher type look.
So he might have something like that. But Chris to score 4 goals, because he usually tends to play in midfield. They must have pushed him a bit further forward.
Well, he has the ability to do that, doesn't he? He's a good finisher on the day. So,
But D&D, we say it every week. I was listening to an old podcast today, and I think we say the same line. They're capable of a result on the day, aren't they?
They certainly are. They're a bit of a check on hard side, though, as well. So, now I can only see Mills winning this one, to be honest.
It'd be nice and windy up at Gary Moore
just
this weekend.
Just about to say, yeah. That storm kicks in. There's only one way that ball's going
in the river.
Stu, you favourite home winning that one?
Yeah, I think Mills are, like you say, the form. Yeah. He seems to be picked up, yeah. Mills.
And Paul, obviously, is going
D&D, Danny Clegg, Sue, hat trick.
Away win there. Yeah. Owen Stewart seems to be, Tony's son seems to be scoring a few goals for
him. I remember him, he's about 2 foot high.
Tony or Owen?
Tony's owning more than I do.
Yeah.
Getting a set of ladders, but yeah. Tony's been there forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, and his other son Luke's playing as well, so it's a bit of a family affair there.
Remember coming down as literally about that big, just tiny, and then now they're playing football. It's just nuts, getting old.
Yeah. But Owen seems to know where the back of the goal is, unlike his dad. So
he finishes dinner.
Yeah. Castletown will need to bounce back, really, don't they?
It's been a tough few weeks for them, hasn't it? This could be a good opportunity for them, but likewise.
They've got the good players to hurt teams if they're all available, haven't they?
They have. Again, it's been a very hit-and-miss season for them. But the fact is, they're putting out 2 teams week in, week out, which is good for them after last season.
Massive improvement. Yeah. They did well, which was a horrible season for them last year. So keep putting a team out every week, to be fair.
They got 1 point, didn't they?
Yeah, which...
It's demoralising that.
Pretty well. I think they were nearly down at Christmas, but for that point, which they got the week before Christmas.
Yeah, with... last gasp equaliser versus Ramsey, I think it was, that kept them up.
But they've done well to bounce back. Obviously, this year they're going to pick up more results, more wins, and it's something to build on for the future, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think a win for either side here would be a good catalyst for them going forward this year, because they just haven't quite sparkled into life, either of them.
Yeah.
Castletown, they still haven't put that governor's result out of their system. Obviously, they had a tough game last week, didn't they? But
Very tough.
Yeah. But this year they've got actually another young team, Castletown. Yeah.
Do you know what? Their man, it's Gary, innit?
Gary Sansbury, yeah.
I met him last season when they got to the semis and that, because they've done something similar to what we've done with you've set up on that. They were in the first division, weren't they? And
yeah.
I think they wiped the slate clean, got rid of a load of players and got lads up from doing the 16s and that. Got a good setup down there, and they've just done that clubhouse up, haven't
they? Yeah. Understand, Joe.
So, yeah, good setup down there, and you know, fair play to Gary, it's done a good job.
Yeah, he's been there missed the Catalan, really, and obviously... it's a club that all the ingredients are there really to go up, aren't they?
Yeah, they've just got to keep a squad together really and just build on it and move forward, hopefully.
I think they'll win this one though. I think it could be a couple of goals in
I'd
this
say
one.
So.
Stewie, do you have any favourite home win?
Yeah, when we played Castletown last week, they had something still. They had
good lad in centre mid, didn't they?
Even though I think they've got a few players missing, they've still got something.
Gell is one of the more tricky strikers. Alex Crowley's one of the tricky strikers in that league.
Still a menace. Mm. So for me, Castletown.
Paul,
Castletown, yeah.
Right, the Premier League, the six games scheduled for the Premier League. Big game at Bala Fletcher, Dave. Corinthians putting their 100% record on the line against Peel.
This is where you're going, isn't it?
Yeah. This one, I think this is going to be a good test for Corinthians' title ambitions, really.
This will be a good, cracking game, this, I think. It'd be interesting to see what their squad's like after, obviously, the quadrangular last week.
Yeah.
Both sides had players involved, travelling away, so...
Mark Kelly, I think, is going to be sidelined with what looks like a hamstring injury. I think he put on social media. Yeah, I think he tore his hamstring last week, so that'll be him out for
a few
weeks. But as you say, Corinthians, I think, had six players in that squad that went to Glasgow. It shows how much they've progressed over the couple of seasons. They'll be, by all accounts, they gave a good account of themselves, so they'll be bouncing, really. And I think... I'm going to favour them to win this one.
I think so too. They're not top of the league for no reason. I know Geordies have got games in hand, but Corinthians have beaten every team they've faced this year. So, yeah, confidence will be sky high. Peel, though, they had a tricky start to the season with that defeat against Rushen, but they've bounced back in style and they've put a really good run of form together.
Haven't played since September 23rd, though, because of call-ups for the under-18s.
Who?
Peel
haven't?
Yeah, because of call-ups for the under-18s and obviously the two... Yeah. Senior games so there could be a bit of ring rustiness there. On the flip side of that, Billy Kenyuk's been banging him in for fun in the combi.
He'll get mentioned in a minute.
Yeah, getting his match fitness back up, so he's a nice option to have up top for the Westerners.
Absolutely, I think he scored four last week against Colby, so he's, as you say, right in form.
Stuio, you've obviously played for Peel. Do you think they can take any points off Corinthians?
Well, let's get aired before the game or after. Corinthians back to full strength.
Sean Doyle had a knee injury, but seems to have overcome that, so he's going to...
It's amazing me, because I've seen young Adam, the goalkeeper for Corinthians.
Killy.
I played in front of him. I was centre back for the combi that season, and he was in there. And he was a cracking player then, but he was more into his cricket. And then, you're just seeing it in him. To go to Corinthians and be in the Ireland team, that's it.
In the Allen team,
seeing the picture, I was like, wow, brilliant, fantastic for the lad to, and he come from Pulley.
Yeah.
Just remember that lad, bring your favours. It hurts to say, I think Corinthians will just edge it.
Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, Corinthians, the white men, my mate, Richard Chatham, worked with him, he used to play for Corinthians, he was watching that, so.
They are good force going forward as well, and like yourselves, a good core of youngsters that have come through and seemingly doing the stuff now. And in what you were saying, the peak ages really of 24 to 26. They're all of that age.
So, yeah, all hungry.
Yeah.
Can they go on and challenge Geordies, eh?
Well, that's the $64 million question.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like to see it. Wouldn't they?
Someone needs to, don't they? Just to make that league more interesting, if more than anything. No disrespect to Geordies.
It's no division two. Laxey Douglas Athletic looks another close game on paper, Dave.
Well, you've tipped this one in your preview to be a good game, really intriguing, could go either way.
I don't know, you saw the carnage that was unfolding on the opposite.
6-0.
6-0 within 28 minutes last week, Douglas Athletic against St Mary's. St Mary's just looked shell-shocked.
Yeah, that's their first win as well, looks that way.
Yeah, but they looked, you wouldn't have said that was their first win. They were full of confidence from the off and really giving it a go. So fair play to Brian, he obviously got his tactics and his team talk.
I think no one saw that result coming at all. I think sources inside the club would have been confident of getting a win, but to do it 6-0.
Well, St Mary's, of course, we were missing Alex away with Ireland squad, Alex Harrison, and Kirill Vela, if the goalkeeper wasn't playing. Matty Richards was in goal. But still, they still had Brian Crowell and Steedo, Tom Weir. There was
Young
lad went off, didn't he?
Tommy Johnson, the fullback. The game was stopped for about half an hour while he was taken to hospital.
James McGinn, he's done his ligaments and he's running down the wing. It's accidental, some lad coming to get the ball.
What? It was an accidental, that's all.
I think so.
No. Revenge for last year, I reckon.
He won 4-2, so
there you go. He was stretched off as well. So was he out for a while?
Yeah, he's on crutches and that, off work and all that.
But yeah, so go get well to both of them soon. But as I say, Athletic will go in confidence. Blacksea haven't had the best of times recently.
No, they've had a tough start to the season, haven't they? But I saw them against St John's a couple weeks ago. They look good. They've got young Joe Walters firing on all cylinders up front. So I think they could just get a result here. Close though.
I'm going to sit on the fence again and say a draw.
Come on.
Yeah. Paul?
Doug's Athletic. They must be buzzing after last week.
Stewie?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I can't make my mind up, but I work with a lad called, well, a fella called Tommy Senegal's his name is. Mm. He's a big Laxey lad. Mm. Big, he watches them all the time. And he's always, yeah, they were good. But I draw. Yeah, big draw.
Ramsey St John's. It should be St John's three points, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and again, like I just said, I saw St John's against Laxey the other week. Reece Oates looks, he's in good form. Mm. With that midfield, with Chaddy and Johnny Holland.
Not much gets past there unscathed.
Exactly, and Ramsey will have a lot more to do.
Ramsey, obviously, they need more points. It's picked it off after a bright start to the season.
Yeah, it beat Royal on the opening day, but it's been downhill since then. They really have to start getting points on the board soon, otherwise, you know, they could be staring out of battle of relegation.
Balaclough and Stewie, you know, always traditionally a nice place to go and play because you're in the big stand. And
everyone wants to play there, don't they? You know, it's a great pitch, to be honest. Nice big nets and the box nets. So yeah, it's a great ground.
But you'd have to favour St
John's? I think St John's.
Got it?
Yeah, St John's, mate. I think Ramsey, each year they just seem to stay up, don't they? It's yeah. Their teeth on that.
So I think the technical term is treading water, but I think this year maybe they might slip under. But they've got, again, another young squad, though, we've got to say. And I don't know if you found, but it takes maybe a few weeks, months even, for those kids to get used to playing at this level, doesn't it?
Well, when I did Arnhem in the 15s and 16s, we had Corinthians in our league, Ramsey, and also Mills and Laxey up there. And Ramsey always had a quick team, but I think some teams are scared of throwing the lads in. I just threw ours in straight away, didn't I? Yeah. And I just played football.
And then you're getting the benefits of that.
So
now.
Probably getting it. Corinthians have done it, but probably getting it sooner than other clubs.
Yeah.
You have to say with Ramsey, they have got some players to come back from injury as well, haven't they?
Yeah, there's Lewis
has been out for a while. But
Chris Oswald, I think, was injured as well. So, but yeah, Chris Oswald and Lewis, both big players, big losses. Brandon versus Old Boys. I'm going to go for Brandon winning this. Controversial. Old Boys obviously coming off the back of a big win over Royal last week, though. Was it the week before? Was it the week before?
About 9-2.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Wayne Kennedy's still talking about getting at the Railway Cup. You know, fair play to them for aiming for it. But Brandon, you know, a lot of teams have already underestimated them this year.
Good young core to that team. I thought they were going to really struggle without Andy this year, but they seem to have shouldered that responsibility across the team. It's players chipping in with goals left, right, and centre.
They've got three wins already, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. They've already nine points.
That league there, if you get 10 or 11 points, you tend to stay up, don't you?
Yeah, I think we always say 12 to 14, but yeah, they're well on their way. And having played only a couple of the teams around them, as you'd say.
That Pacey, isn't it? He's a good player.
Yeah, former St Mary's. Yeah. Stewie Pacey, good player.
I think Antti Bradner there.
Stewie?
No boys for me.
Do you think Wayne's been a bit optimistic with a Railway Cup spot? Or?
No, you've got to have goals, haven't you? Mm. You've got to set yourself something for the lads to achieve or to look at. You can't just say, let's go out there and do our best. I think you've got to tell the boys, you know, let's go for this, let's work at something. Like, you can't just go through a season hoping. Mm. I think you have got to set goals, and I think, yeah, why not? I think the boys can, they've got some good players there, haven't they? So, I think all boys will be up there, like.
What else we got? It's Douglas Royal rushing. Douglas Royal season doesn't seem to get any better, does it?
It doesn't get any easier, does it?
I think they're still on. They got that solitary point, haven't they?
It's Colby.
Yeah, 1-1.
Yeah. Tough all season for them.
They're getting rushing again. Rushing haven't had a game for a few weeks, so they'll be a bit ring rusty. But you'd think that the Arsenal they have available to them should go down.
Mike was was playing for the Ireland side, wasn't he recently?
He was in Glasgow, but in the interleague game.
Obviously Josh is back, and with Steve Radden and that, they've got a hell of a front line there.
Yeah, Jack Saxon as well, the mercurial Jack Saxon. He can hit a football. He's probably up there with Peter Dunne for pound for pound kicking ability. Yeah, Paul, would you say, as you know, Royal seems to have struggling to adapt at this level this year.
That's the thing when you go up, it's a bit of fitness as well, isn't it? Mm. You know, I think majority of teams there for training probably go running and maybe train three times a week, I don't know.
They're an older squad as well. If you look at that team that played last year, we said that one of their advantages was most of that team had played in the Premier League, but they are getting on a bit. They're late 20s, early 30s. Yeah. And I know they're trying to integrate some of the 16-year-olds and they signed over the summer, but...
Yeah, they train next to us on a Tuesday and half their kids like got paper rounds or something that look that young. But, you know, that's good for the future, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once you all hit 16 and that, throw them in.
Yeah.
At the other end of the spectrum, one player who we haven't seen yet is Duna, Christian Chalamara.
Still injured. Yeah. He had his knee up.
Yeah, but he'll be a big player when he comes back. You know, hopefully you can help him get a few points on the board. But
one of the goalkeeper union, Stewie's one of the, he's played some games and for some different clubs as well. He's a good goalkeeper though, isn't he,
Stewie? Yeah.
Very non-committal.
Yeah.
Do you not know him?
No. I'm just useless with other teams, so yeah. just me, just poorly.
So I think, we all favour a Russian win here. I think chaps. Yeah. And then finally, Colby St George's again. That seems to have another game that seems to have a away win written all over it.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't look past Geordies, but again, they've had a few weeks off, like you say.
23rd was their last time. 23rd of September was their last league game as well. So
you might not if that's their manager, you know.
Well,
we dragged down B&Q in Tesco.
Yeah. Early season break for Geordies. So.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how refreshed they come back.
Obviously, most of the team have been playing. It's like not as if they've obviously been involved with the Paul Jones' squad. So
assume Pecker's back with Volvo.
I think he's back from holiday. He was in California, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, so on paper you couldn't look past the Geordies win here, but Colby might give him a bit of a game of it in the first half.
I think Matty Cajean, who's been in team of the week already a couple of times this season, couldn't be in for a busy afternoon. He's the Colby goalkeeper.
Good keeper though, isn't he?
He'll be busy.
Yeah, he'll be busy. I think, I don't need to ask, a unanimous away when we're all going for there.
Oh, I'm going for Colby, it's going to be wind sweats, all that storm going on. You ain't going to keep his eyes.
You heard it here first. Right, Dave, feature of the week. Feature is taking the podcast world by storm, Combi Corner.
No pressure, mate, no pressure. Well, you've already mentioned him, Billy Kenyon. He's continued his hot scoring streak. He grabbed another 4 goals versus Colby last week in Peel's 6-1 win. It was another day of high score lines, but Kean Brock got a hat trick for Dougie Royal. Against Dougie Royal for St John's.
Signed from Laxey in the extended transfer window.
Good little player. The biggest winners of the day were Moran. They flipped Ayr United 13-4.
Yeah, seen that.
Wow.
And one man in particular, Duan Killip.
Duan Kipper Killip. Seven goals.
Just
I wonder if he played his regulation 70 minutes. I never seen him play beyond 70 minutes.
That's not bad average, then. A goal every 10 minutes.
Well, if he did. We'll get the boy. Well, who's Colin? We'll have to get Colin in. He was the combi.
He was in Crosby, so he probably went to the pub afterwards to get the monkey brains in.
Yeah, a few monkey brains after that one. Yeah.
More hat tricks galore in Combi 2. You've got Callum Dawson and Brian Ring. Rare hat trick for him.
Brian Ring. Club stalwart at Onken.
Yeah, as they won their little Onken derby against Governors 9-2. I have to give a special mention to Jims. They've had a tough season so far, but the Combi side claimed a 2-1 win at home to D&D. The legend that is Mike Travers and Phil Ogle getting the goals for them. This is a biggie. Just looking at the tables. It's tight at the top of Combi 1 with Corinthians, Russian and Peel still all locked on 18 points. Obviously, big game this weekend with Peel, Corinthians. And then at the bottom, there's no fewer than 5 clubs have all got 3 points. So it's all to play for there as well. And in Combi 2, Euthia, 3 points clear, but Castletown have got a game in hand. Also, Onken, Malute and yourselves, Pulley, are all there on 15 points. So you're breathing down the necks. So.
Well, not in a minute, because you can't get two teams out in a minute.
Are you appealing for players?
Yeah, we've got, on paper, we've got 42 names signed on.
Wow.
But of them 42, it's only 27 that play. The rest are signed because they own money. So they're switched, otherwise they get transferred. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we've got 3 suspended. Got, I think, another 5-6 injured. So we've got a total of 19, 80-90 players this Saturday. So that's, again, call a common game off tomorrow.
Right.
Which is sad, really, but...
Is it important to have a strong combi for clubs?
Yeah, you need if first team player gets injured suspended, then you need someone decent to come in to fill the boots, and then if they fill the boots, then the first team players then got work to get back in the team.
See, our combi not doing too bad when they play.
Our combi went to Mills with 10 men and beat them.
Yeah, that's good going, isn't it?
Yeah, got a good. That's after the under-16s is our combi team.
So Gary's calling to the manager and he's doing. He's doing good.
He scored the other week, didn't he?
Yeah, last minute winner, I think, or something.
He seems to have the boys up for it, you see. So yeah, I think he's done well.
Good. Before we go, there's a couple of other things I need to mention. Shay Sharkey, Ireland Bannon, former St George's defender as well. He's playing for Sligo Rovers in the League of Ireland at the moment. He's been nominated for their Player of the Year award, along with a couple of other names. You can still vote for online for that, I think.
Good luck to him, well done.
Yeah, and considering he was only picked up halfway through the season.
That's
pretty good going. They're playing a former club, Derry, tomorrow night. I think they still need a couple of points just to ward off relegation. So obviously the Irish League plays over the summer, so they're nearly at the end of their season. I'll try and get Shay in if he's back over the winter.
That'd be quite a coup for us, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And also, someone else impressing offshores is Liam Doyle. He's in the playoff their Swoop Park Rangers are in their playoff match with Didier Drogba's Phoenix Rising.
Could be a battle of long range free kicks at this one.
Yeah, did you see Liam the other day?
Oh, that's cracking him.
I'm blaming the keeper. Have you seen that? I would have been having a go at my goalkeeper there. I think it would have been down, got that. It was about 40 yards out and crept in at the post. So
was it, wouldn't have done a mess effort then, no?
No, not as much. Not as much finesse has done it, Liam. But yes, he takes on Didier Drogba and Phoenix Rising on Saturday night. I'm sure it'll be streamed somewhere if you're keen to watch in the early hours.
Yeah, I thought he played before.
Yeah, they played him in the season. Yeah. I think he's got. Has he got a shirt?
I think he did. Yeah.
He was
being
picked up by him, wasn't
he? Yeah. So yeah, Liam Doyle versus Didier Drogba Saturday night. Right, lads. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for giving us your time and opinions.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck for Saturday and the rest of the season.
Cheers.
Yeah, it won't be a factor.
Make sure you're there. Final game.
Yeah. That's it.
Come on the party bus with us if you want.
I'm looking forward to maybe another FA Cup penalty shootout, Stu. Anyway.
Just do it in normal time. My nerves couldn't handle that.
Make it interesting, you know what I mean?
Right, you can listen to all our Mag 40 pods, including last season's back catalogue online at audioboom.com/channel/MagsFootball. Of course, we're on iTunes and TuneIn as well, if you want to look us up on there. Finally, keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Peel versus Corinthians at Manx Footy Blog, that is. So, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.